Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and we have a guest here from Marietta, Georgia, Mr. Jimmy Mayfield. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Del, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
Very good, sir. I want to start this interview out, first of all, having you tell us how many current units you now part owner in.
I am currently a part owner in nine lifestyle deals and one non-lifestyle deal.
How many total units would that add up to?
Over 2,200 units.
Over 2,200 units. Okay, great. Now, I want to start, or second part of the interview here, or second question interview, is set this up and let you run with it, because I've always found it interesting that people who have any type of real estate experience, whether it be education like you have, whether it's working in real estate business of some format, whether it be brokering and consulting or mortgage company or working as a property management firm, I find that so many people that have worked in the business of real estate come to Lifestyles and are amazed at how the business of real estate actually works and that they can actually do it. Fit into that picture for me. Would you tell everybody where you came from, your background, your education, and walk us into how that is that you can actually be involved in something and not know how to get rich from it?
Yeah, that's a very fair point, and that really is my story. So, I grew up in Texas. I got my undergrad at A&M, and through that process, kind of figured out that real estate was the industry I wanted to be in. Just because of the ubiquity of real estate, you can't really do anything in life without some level of real estate involvement. So, but I still didn't kind of perceive your math. I went and got a master's in real estate and pursued it as a regular, W-2 career. Ended up in the lending world where I was helping people do exactly what you've done and what Lifestyles members have done. As I was the lender for them. I was more on the credit side. And I would say for me, the difficulty in turning it into a fortune for me was two things. One is I didn't really have the mindset of retirement that you teach, which was you build streams of passive income to replace your W-2 income. And the second thing is I was never a great networker or salesperson. I'm a strong, strong type B personality, all analysis and not much action. So for me personally, finding Lifestyles allowed me an easy avenue to taking that action.
Let's go just a little bit deeper on that aha moment, because you'd mentioned that in your bio, that you had had that aha moment about a different way to view retirement. Can you paraphrase for us how you viewed it before you witnessed the Lifestyles way of viewing it?
Yeah, I would say before I didn't really have a strong plan. I viewed it like most people view retirement today is where you just amass a pile of money or keep working until you feel like you have a large enough pile of money to where you think you can live the rest of your life before that pile runs out. So that was, you know, to the extent I had a plan at all back then, that was the plan that I was sort of following. So, you know, and you know, your definition of retirement being, you know, building those passive streams of income to replace your W-2 income. You know, I learned that in your introductory presentation before I even formally joined Lifestyle. So that was, you know, I got value from Lifestyle before I even joined.
Now, I don't like to put words in people's mouths, especially with the COVID going around and everything that's unhealthy. But I'm going to try to paraphrase some things, and you say, yes, that touches it or it doesn't. But if you have that pile of money mentality, do you prefer Jim or Jimmy, by the way?
Jimmy.
If you have that pile of money mentality, doesn't it become almost impossible to figure out when you're going to retire?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that's probably why I didn't really focus on it that hard. Maybe I was just avoiding the subject altogether going into my early 40s before I joined Lifestyles.
Because as a type B personality, there's no real equation you can put together to figure it out, right? Whereas deciding that I've got to replace my income, that's real calculatable. You know, I need $10,000 a month, okay? I do this, and it gets me there, and it gets me there, and gets me there. And if I do, you know, one deal a year in 5 years, I'm done. I'm out. Boom. You can calculate it almost perfectly, right? But if you think about the pile of money, go, well, the pile of money can keep me alive for how long? Well, I don't know, because the cost of living keeps going up. Interest rates keep going down, so the return on my pile of money is going down. I mean, I don't really know what equation you could even count on. They used to say you can make a 4% return on your money, and that 4% return has gone down to 3% now. You know, so it's not calculatable. And as a type B, and I'm just trying to make the point of why type Bs can't think about retirement, is because there's no equation for them to lock into, and type B needs an equation to lock into. Is there any truth to what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll go a little further on that, that for me, it also gave me a lot more control. I mean, I pick deals to get into with people that I know versus, say, relying on a money manager or mutual funds from you know, run by people I have no idea about. So to me, it's both the calculatable feature and the control. Even as a passive, I feel like I have a lot more control over my money than participating in the more standard finance industry.
There's multiple layers of that, Jimmy. For instance, you mentioned the one that you get to pick which one you want to go in. Well, if you've got a financial planner, you know, he's picking what you should go into. But I think it goes even one step further. Let's say you own stock. You own a portion of a company. They don't look at you like an owner. You're just some investable capital out there. The owner is the actual people running the company. And so you couldn't call up Microsoft and say, hey, you know, I own Microsoft stock. Can you tell me what we're going to be doing next year? And they wouldn't even take your call. You call up your lead investor, he knows who you are. And that doesn't mean he's going to do what you want to do, but he's at least going to tell you what he's doing or she's doing. You're closer to it is what I'm getting to, closer to the actual business. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And that provides me a really high level of comfort with what I'm doing.
Great. Now, you came out of the two-day, and you said you got some, you know, got some value out of just going to the free stuff, but you came out of the two-day. What were your aha moments? As a type B personality has been in the business, what lit you up and said, wow, that's the light bulb. That's the one I didn't get.
Well, coming out of the two-day, I think what I perceived was the strength of the Lifestyles community as a networking group and as a way to access fellow investors. At the time, I had an ambition of becoming a lead investor, and that gave me a degree of comfort that in doing that, I would be able to raise capital fairly easily.
All right. Well, let's hold it right there. Hold that thought because we're going to have to go to break, and I don't want you to get cut off right in the middle of that thought. Take it from that thought when we come back. We'll be right back with Jimmy Mayfield and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Styles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price. Plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Jimmy Mayfield out of Marietta, Georgia, has over 2,200 units that he's passively invested with and has a background in real estate. Before we went to break, he was talking about his aha moments at the two-day class. And so, Jimmy, pick it back up where I had to cut you off there.
Yeah, sure, Del. Pretty much everything you said in the two-day I was familiar with and nodding my head. So what I came out of the two-day excited about was the education and networking group that you had built and being able to interact with and access like-minded investors. And, I came out with a desire to be a lead investor. Now, the much bigger epiphany for me was really 5 or 6 years later when Lifestyles made some changes to how they advise and really sort of enforce things with lead investors to make sure that passive investors are strongly protected and that lead investors are following the education that Lifestyles provides. And it was at that point where I really reoriented my focus to strictly doing passive investments. And, 3 years later in 2020 is when my plan allowed me to leave the real estate lending industry.
So let's walk you through how you did that. I mean, what was the plan and how did you walk through it to get to where you could retire in just 3 years?
So I had been, setting aside a lot of money in order to, pursue that lead investing. And so that money really wasn't doing anything for me. So once I freed it up to focus on passive investing, I got in, 2 deals in 2017, 2 deals in 18, 3 deals in 19, and 3 more deals in 2020. And, just lining up the projected cash flows and seeing the cash flows I was already getting made me comfortable that I was able to leave the W-2 world.
Well, let's back it up one step. You had mentioned that you had thought you were going to be a lead. Let's go through the mental gymnastics there of changing your goals.
I had a well-paying job. I've been in the industry for over 20 years at that point, but I didn't have a lot of liquidity to be able to jump into lead investing, and frankly, maybe I didn't have the right mindset. I didn't necessarily want to start with a smaller lead investment deal that wouldn't cover my expenses and salary right away. So it was hard for me to pull the trigger to leave my job and start a new job, essentially, as a lead investor. So I spent 5 years trying to find my way into doing that, and was getting a little frustrated with that at the same time as the changes that I mentioned to the lead investor white paper came out. So it was really just a confluence of events that said, look, maybe I can do this as a passive. And at the same time, after that many years in the industry, maybe I wanted to just be a passive.
So it makes sense if you have a good paying job that you don't mind being at, and you don't want to give it up to go and buy a small apartment to get started with, that you passive makes more sense. That's absolutely logical. I get that 100% on the deal. Let's talk about, since you decided to be a passive at that point, you decided to not do the lead investor deal. Let's talk about how you elected to pick the deals you got into.
Sure.
Let me give you a little framework. Let's start with, what do you think is more important? You know, you being in real estate, having background in it, do you think that the quality of the deal is more important than the quality of the lead investor? I call it the horse versus the jockey.
Yeah, for me, I focused more on the lead investor. I didn't get in every deal with the lead investors that I was comfortable with because, you know, the secondary concern was the returns, and that didn't always work out. I will say the one deal that didn't go great for me was one where I did not follow my gut and avoid that lead investor. So, you know, the lead investor and that relationship is super, super important. So I would put that just slightly above the numbers and the market location and other factors. They're also very important in real estate deals.
Yeah, you mentioned the stuff that typically, if you're educated in real estate, you'd look at, which is market location, the marketplace, the growth, and all that kind of stuff, which is not something that I put a lot of pressure on in most cases. But my next question is, were you looking for a value play or a cash flow play? What was your psychology there, or did you want to mix and so on?
I was mostly looking for hybrid deals. You know, by this point, the true value plays were pretty rare, so I was willing to get into hybrid deals. I have not done any true just yield plays to this point, although I'm starting to look more at those now that I'm a little more settled.
Gotcha. When you look at a lead investor and you say, okay, I put more value, more stock in the lead investor, what kind of traits and values do you think are important in a lead investor? What would attract you to one? What would scare you away from one? I guess is probably the easiest thing to ask.
Yeah, I think probably the traits that I look for is either, you know, an experienced lead investor that has already done multiple deals, there are good things about, and this is something that you've spoken about in the past. If it's a newer lead investor, it's got to be someone with complementary skill, someone that has run a business unit maybe at a larger corporation or run their own business in another industry and understands not only accounting, understands all the, you know, managing employees and everything that goes into running a business. That's what I'm looking for in a lead investor.
All right, great. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we'll get Jimmy Mayfield explaining to us how he picked the deals he picked and how he sees the future.
It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Here's Del Wamsley.
Farmer Del has all these geese, and he's working. He's figured it out. There's got to be some better way. So he goes to this seminar. It's a crazy seminar put on by a company called Lifestyles Unlimited. And Lifestyles Unlimited, he goes there and says, you can have passive streams of income. You don't have to work. And they start out by talking about having geese, and you no longer have to have a job because you've got income coming from geese, and they're calling that self-employed. And they're saying that's the first step. So the second step, though, is to be own a business. And a business is anything where you can look at the org chart and realize that you're not on it. You don't have a job. You own an apartment complex, and you've owned it long enough, and it's gained enough equity that you can refinance that equity out tax-free and go buy another apartment complex. You go from $10,000 a month in cash flow from one to $20,000 a month in cash flow for two. Or you sell the one and you buy one twice the size and go from $10,000 to $20,000 a month. And you can keep doing that year after year after year And so 5 years into the system, you might be making $50,000 a month. 10 years into the system, you might be making $100,000 a month. We'll be right back with Jimmy Mayfield and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate. And that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments, too. We'll show you how. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me today is Jimmy Mayfield out of Marietta, Georgia. Jimmy's got around 2,200 units so far, and he has retired after 3 years of investing. And as we went to break, Jimmy, we're discussing, you know, your investment thoughts. And the one I wanted to ask you next was, what do you think about diversification? How do you play that into your plan?
I'm starting to think a little more about it, geographic diversity as well as diversification of leads. I'm not as concerned about diversifying through different leads, although it is interesting to see how different people handle things. But you know, initially, just about all my deals were in Atlanta, so I've started looking more in Texas and some of the other areas where I've got some deals in Tennessee, and, you know, looking in some of the other areas where Lifestyles has a pretty good footprint. I'm not sure what else to say about that, but continuing to build my lead list.
Like you said, you had one deal that was problematic, and that one deal had a lead investor that didn't get the job done. I don't know which deal that is, and I don't know where you're at on that deal right now, but do you think that's something that you should have seen in the lead investor from the beginning or not?
Yeah, like I said, I didn't really follow my gut on that deal. I wasn't 100% comfortable with the lead investor, and it was his first deal and a deep value play and out of state for him. So thankfully, we had some other passive step up and take over the deal, and actually got it to a point where got a cash out refinance, and now that deal is on the market to be sold, hopefully in the first or second quarter of this year. So it ended up well in the end through the efforts of, you know, Lifestyles Consulting and mentors and other passive investors who were ready to step in and help out.
Yeah, so the scary part is if you hadn't been a part of a group of people that were willing to come in from angles like consulting, like helping out, and like, you know, all being on the same page educationally-wise, you guys were able to pull together. And I've seen that happen quite a few times where people have a problem, they're able to pull together and save their money. Whereas if you were with some lead investor that was not a part of our group, that was not insulating you from some of that risk, you could lose everything in those kinds of deals. So, yeah. I think that's important. Let's talk about your plan forward now. How do you see yourself moving forward? Wait, I'm sorry. Before we take you forward, let me take you one step back. Let's talk about timing. How did you decide how fast to move?
I've really moved as quickly as my liquid assets would allow me. I never fully let go of the lead investor idea, so I didn't put everything in all at once. But in 2020, I went ahead and capitulated and put all my remaining liquid funds into deals. And that's when I was, okay, I'm fully retired and I'm absolutely not going to be a lead investor. So I've moved, even after my epiphany, I moved a little slower than I probably could have. But now I'm fully invested with the exception of just having some safety liquidity set aside.
So how do you see the future? What's your plan this moving forward from here, Jimmy?
Still very bullish on multifamily, and it's honestly, it's just so easy with Lifestyles. I see so many deals, and I'm only going to, as deals roll off, I'm going to have funds available for maybe one or two deals a year going forward on my projections. So, you know, at this point, I spend maybe 10% of my time focused on real estate and the other 90% doing fun stuff that I want to do.
That's terrible.
I know.
That's just, I'm shedding a tear for you right now, man. That's terrible. Terrible, terrible stuff, right? You had mentioned earlier, I hope I get this right, that you didn't feel comfortable as a networker. Did I pick that up right?
Yeah, I've never been a super outgoing person who just is constantly networking and calling people and catching up, and certainly not feeling comfortable, you know, asking people for things.
How did this system help you overcome that? Because obviously you've had no problem getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the moment with what I think of as sort of forced networking events, honestly, all you got to do is show up. And I'm comfortable doing that and showing up and other people having the same expectations of introductions, shaking hands, conversations, and, you know, exchanging business cards and building lists of contacts. It's just so, so easy with Lifestyles. To me, that's probably the strength of Lifestyles for me personally, is the ease of access to other people who are doing what I want to do.
Do you think that the like-mindedness that I've maintained, that, hey, this is our sandbox, we don't let any outside ideas come in here, you got to believe what we believe or don't be here, do you think that makes it easier to network?
Absolutely. I've never felt the need to be guarded at all around other Lifestyles members or concerned about what they may, you know, want from me or want to get me into.
Are you on Podium by any chance?
I am, yeah. That's another great tool that helps just get plugged into people and share, you know, appropriate information with lead investors from me, and for them to be able to share appropriate information back to me about deals that I'm involved in or deals that they want me to take a look at. Again, I mean, I'm seeing, you know, dozens of deals at a time and only have to, you know, one or two to choose. So I'm able to be very picky at this point.
Just out of curiosity, are you on the free version or the upgraded version, passive version?
Just the free version at this point.
Okay. Because I think the paid version, you actually get direct access to every lead out there. The lead list is there. Now, you can get that online at Lifestyles as a member, but it's on Podium. It's live. So I just wondered if anybody was using that part of it to make it easier.
Yeah, if I were new and still trying to build my list, I would definitely sign up for that.
I guess this is really the last part of this question, and that is the social aspect. You know, you said you're not a real big networker or whatever. I'm really not either. I'm not a really big social person usually. But I feel comfortable in this group because it's all my group. It's all my people, right? But the point I'm getting to is what I found is once I started Lifestyles, and I've had a lot of people tell me this, is that when you're in a group of people that talk openly about investing and are talking openly about retirement, it's kind of uncomfortable to go back to your friends that have a job and really enjoy being out with them because they're saying, what are you doing? And they're, you know, so on and so forth. But the point is, you end up making a whole new set of friends that are so like-minded. And I used to joke about it and say, you know why I started Lifestyles? Because there was nobody else retired at 34 years of age. I needed somebody to play with. So I needed to retire a few people to have somebody to play with. Do you find that you have any social interaction through Lifestyles?
For me, probably not as much as I would have expected. I've always really enjoyed the live events and going and catching up with people. But and this is on me, not on Lifestyles or other members at all. I'm just not as good as, even with an existing group of friends, you know, reaching out and, you know, catching up and seeing how things are doing. So what always helps me is the live meet and greet. I'm looking forward to getting back to doing more of those. It's great that online things can be done, but for me, I'm looking forward to going back to attending the live ones.
I think everybody is, Jimmy. Whenever I went to the first case study back from the pandemic, it felt so good. So I think everybody does.
Now, intel from the files of Del Wamsley.
I committed to losing weight. I lost weight. I committed to being a powerlifter. I became a powerlifter. I committed to being a bodybuilder. I became a bodybuilder. I committed to getting ahead at my job. I moved up in my job. I committed to being an investor. I became an investor. I committed to being a mentor. I became a mentor. What is it in life that you believe in and commit to? And if you have no money, I'd be very willing to bet that you do not believe in and or commit to making money. It's just not important to you. Either you don't believe it can be done, or you believe you can't do it. You know, in other words, you say it really can't be done. It's all a scam. Only rich people get rich. Or you believe that, well, I'm too dumb. I'm too old. I love this. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too old to get rich. I'm too young to get rich. I'm too smart to leave my job and go waste my time being an entrepreneur. I'm too dumb to be able to start a company. Now, do you understand? I hear all this stuff. I'm too white. I'm too black. I'm too brown. Whatever that means, you figure it out. All of these things nowadays, everything is an excuse to not go out there and become financially free. And the fact that you can do it, but don't focus on doing it, is why you don't have it. Number four, you must constantly have an income that keeps your purse full. And herein lies the beginning of some of the theories that I've built up and expanded upon, one of which is it's all about the cash flow. What allows you to retire? Cash flow. What allows you to live? Cash flow. Why do you get up and go to work every day? Cash flow. If your boss said, here's what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you work for me for 60 years, and when you're 60, I'm going to give you $1 million. You wouldn't do it. We're going to take a short break. Be right back with Jimmy Mayfield and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley's real estate investing worst case scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Jimmy Mayfield out of Marionette of Georgia, and he's currently in around 2,200 units. He's sharing with us his story today, how he retired in 3 years. Jimmy, I wanted to touch base on the educational aspect of Lifestyles Unlimited. You've got a college degree in real estate. What did you think of our educational classes, and as opposed to thinking about people coming in and have no real estate knowledge at all, and how we have to take them from zero to 1,000 miles an hour in a very short period of time? How do you think we do on that?
I think it's fabulous. I think it's very sort of task-oriented, if you will. And like you said, it starts from the very basics and of evaluating a deal and stepping through, you know, building your team and managing people and managing assets. And, you know, it's a great system. And it's also great in my mind that everybody is essentially required to take some level of education in order to participate, at least on the multifamily side. With, you know, when I first started, there was no lead investor certification. And now I think that's a very strong program to know that everybody at least has the same basis as a starting point.
Great point. I'm going to change direction again here, and this is really the last part of the interview. I want to ask you about the people around you. There's really three levels to this question. The first level is, when you first started looking into this, were there any cynics in your life?
I would probably put a number of my coworkers in that camp. You know, in the lending industry, first of all, there's a little bit of a little bit of concern. I'm having a hard time thinking the word, but there's a little bit of leaning away from the whole syndication structure. At least there was early in the career, and then secondly, you know, your spiel that you go through, Dave Valdano, Robert Allen Cohn, all of those people, that certainly people within the industry early on viewed lifestyles without really taking a close look. I think we're past that now, but at the time, it was assumed, at least among my coworkers, that Lifestyles was a similar organization, and thank God it's not.
We got dumped into the Midnight Madness, Something for Nothing, Instantaneous, Truly Gratificationally Disease Group.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So were you ever to bring those people around?
Yeah. I mean, my former company and in the industry overall has gotten really comfortable lending to Lifestyles members. So I would say certainly that has been turned around for sure.
How about family members? Anybody think you're crazy not working?
No. In fact, since I finally pulled the trigger and was able to leave, I've got one nephew that has joined Lifestyles recently and another one that actually lives in Houston that's looking at it very closely. So I think early on they assumed, you know, well, of course you can do that. You know, that was your career. But now they're starting to understand that it is easy for pretty much anyone to pick up.
Well, we're sitting here at the end now, and we've got just about 2 minutes left. And last thing I'd like to ask you is, if you're sitting out there right now at the beginning, someone's sitting out there right now and thinking, okay, when you start looking at something like this, you're listening to these case studies and interviews. Does that sound like somebody like me? What would you tell somebody who's sitting there right now and they're thinking about this? What's the most important thing? If you could do it over again, you would do differently.
You know, the most important thing is just get comfortable with your own capabilities and interests and see how that fits with Lifestyles. Understanding the strength of real estate as a wealth builder is one thing, but figuring out how you want to fit into it is equally important. And I think Lifestyles has levels for just about anybody who understands the strength of real estate and just wants to get involved in any way they can. To me, there's something for everybody. Just do it.
If you had to do it over again, is there anything you'd do differently?
You know, I joined in 2011, and if I had dumped all of my liquidity into passive deals at that time, you know, I would venture to guess that I would certainly have retired significantly sooner than I actually did. So my mistake was kind of getting stuck on the lead investor thing and then letting my money sit on the sidelines for 5 years.
I got you. Yeah, plus back then the deals were really hot compared to now. So, you probably would have doubled your net worth from what you have right now, even.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your story. Are you going to be going to the expo here coming up in March?
I haven't made my reservation yet, but I am planning to go, yes.
You know, we bought a hotel block, larger hotel block than we've ever bought, and our hotel block is sold out. You need to get on there quick, and because I think we've got some alternative hotels that we can get you into, but you need to look that up pretty quick. So, and for everybody else out there that wants to come to the expo, you need to get on it because it's selling out very, very quickly. Jimmy, thank you. Thank you very much for coming in and spending the time with us today and sharing your story. The rest of you out there, just remember this. Jimmy, myself, everybody at Lifestyles, we're not doing this to create a pile of money. We're not doing this for just the money. We're doing this for a quality of lifestyle that can exist between 2 to 5 years from beginning that will allow you to retire for the rest of your life.
Del Wamsley on how to live the lifestyle.
When you get to that point where you realize the dire need for people to have a job, and you understand the dire need for your product to be delivered to your customer, now you realize that you're supporting both. You're actually creating a way for these people to survive. So I have tenants. Tenants can't buy homes. They can't buy places to live. They are totally dependent on us producing,
clean, functional housing at a decent price. Likewise, my employees need money. And so they had the skill sets to provide the clean, functional housing in return for earning a wage. Now, I get paid because I figured out how to go get somebody else to lend me money, to take risks and buy this business. I am taking the risk of hiring these people and knowing I have to pay them whether or not we make any money. I'm taking the risk that tenants will move in and maybe do damage or not pay. I'm taking all that risk. Yet, with the skill sets of understanding how to deal with that.
Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.